You're listening to The Bill Murphy Show, the daily music interview show featuring the best in the business. From behind the scenes, in the studio, and on the stage. Available by subscription for free on iTunes and at BillMurphyShow.com. Brought to you by Lulu's Bait Shack, fresh Florida seafood and live music on A1A on world-famous Fort Lauderdale Beach. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
Thank you, Scott Chapin. Welcome to the brand new digital broadcast for Thursday, October 20th, 2011. How about that last episode with Junior Marvin? Man, talking to a whaler. It's just like closest you'll ever get to have gotten a chance to meet Bob Marley. He just felt like the whole spiritual feeling of it. And what a positive, uplifting episode that I plan on listening to over and over again. Hope you picked up his music as well. Great new shows on the way. I want to also forewarn you about the upcoming show on October 25th, which is the same date as the release of the brand new Andy Timmons band plays Sgt. Pepper, and Andy Timmons will be on the show to tell us all about it, and we'll hear a couple of tracks from that. I'm very excited. It's already been done, but we can't release it until the release date, so hang tight for that. It's coming very soon. Today in the studio, I have a very special guest who I'm happy to introduce to all of you listeners. Let's welcome in Hunter Altschul, who's all set up. How you doing, buddy?
I'm good.
Don't be shy. Did I say your name wrong?
No, you said it right, actually.
All right, wow, that's pretty cool. Practiced it a lot before you came here, so that's the deal with that. So Hunter is a singer-songwriter, and before we get into your whole story, I'll tell everybody how I found you. The same way I found Junior Marvin, who was one of the Wailers. He was one of the featured songwriters in the Crystal Hartigan's Songwriter Showcase. I really want to thank Crystal, too, for giving me access to her musicians. She was a guest a while back on the show as well. Now, Hunter was one of the walk-ons in the open mic portion of the show, which is great. It happens every first Monday of every month, and you'll get to see four featured songwriters, some of them very prolific, more than others, and then the first hour and a half or so is open mic, and people just come in, just one after the other. They're hooked up very efficiently and quickly, and they just do one song, and they're off, and the next comes up. And Hunter walked in there, and just you blew me away with your song, man. It was really, really awesome to see you up there. And
thank you.
It's how many times have you done events like that where you just open mic and you're on in the spot like that?
I've been doing open mics for a few years, actually.
Where else do you come across them beside at Crystal's place? Are there other ones in the area here in South Florida that you've participated in?
Well, yeah, actually, one of my favorite open mics that I did happened a couple of years ago. They closed down last year. It was called The Coffee Scene in Pembroke Pines.
Uh-huh.
It was a great open mic. But nowadays, I spend a lot of time at the Your Big Picture Cafe in Davie.
Oh, okay.
And there are a few other really good ones, like the Stage 84 and...
Oh, yeah, Stage 84, great, and a great place to see local stuff in Broward County as well. So so how old are you, Hunter?
I'm 20 years old.
20 years old. Oh, to be 20 again, it would just... it's awesome. But your music, as people are going to hear, because we're going to have you perform one or two of your songs here during the show, is way mature for a 20-year-old. It boggles my mind sometimes when you see very, very young performers and artists performing songs with lyrics that sound like you've lived 40 or 50 years. I mean, there's like a whole lifetime of experience there. Let's go back to the earliest time you can remember actually like having a guitar in your hand. What was the young age that you actually started, you know, going, I like music?
Well, actually, I wasn't that young. In fact, I spent a lot of my life not really caring that much about music.
Really?
Yeah, until...
See, I would have taken you for someone who had an instrument in his hand at 6 years old and were doing things that
I had a paintbrush in my hand. I actually was...
Wow.
I did art and stuff, and when I was 6 years old, actually, I was like determined to become an artist, but not a musical artist.
Right.
But when I was, 13, 14 years old, I decided I wanted to get into music because other people were getting into music. I thought it was like cool. So I really got into it. You know, I gave it a try and I really got into it. And I said, wow, I really want to like become this. And it especially...
What were you listening to in the earliest days? What was the music that really got you first?
Well, actually, the first, you know, it really has snowballed, but the very first band that really inspired me was Blink-182.
Okay.
So I've come a really
How young long... is he, listeners? Wow, Blink-182, wow.
Yeah.
And okay, so I didn't mean to interrupt you there, but what else? Let's stay on that same track and...
Yeah, well, I wanted to become a singer and a guitar player and actually play the electric guitar, like maybe some punk rock.
So you had the whole rock star dream, the whole rock band thing going on.
Yeah, I listened to like bands like, I don't know, Bad Religion and like, you know,
cool,
some old punk bands, but I don't know, it started becoming that I would just really keep becoming more and more open to different styles until I got acoustic guitars and I, you know, and from there now I'm listening to like it's been such a long time, you know, musically for me.
Yeah. You know, it's, and I want to know if this is just a coincidence or if something, and I'm kind of just putting this out in the open, not knowing at all what you're going to say, but there, when I heard you play and I heard one of your songs, and heard you start singing and the patterns you were playing on the guitar, I heard a similarity, and I don't mean to compare you to other artists, but I heard a similarity to a band, and I'm going to be really, really shocked if you haven't heard of them. Are you familiar with the band Copeland at all?
A little bit.
Okay.
I know of them, yes.
Yeah. I don't know if you're aware how similar the sound is in your voice, and I'm really just basically talking about the tone of your voice. I'm not saying that your songs necessarily sound like theirs or anything, but there's that smooth, easy to listen to tone that's in your voice that I went, ooh, ooh, this is sort of Copeland-ish, and this is very, very nice. And so, okay, so the transition going, you listen to Blink-182, you're into Bad Religion. Obviously, you had an affinity for some of the, I'm guessing, late 90s rock that was around for a long, long time, because there was a whole genre of music from like 94 to 98 and 9 that really stuck around through most of the next decade too. Like all the radio stations were still playing that music. So I'm assuming you heard a lot of that. So then obviously you've taken a transition into this sort of the acoustic, more cerebral type of storytelling thing. How did that happen? Where there had to have been an artist there that kind of struck you in that light.
Well, there was a gateway artist for me who I would still call my favorite band ever. And I would love if one day to actually meet and play music with them, but I listened to The Shins.
Oh, okay, right.
And I slowly started getting into them, and before I knew it, I had everything that they made, and I still do, and I listen to it every day, actually to this day for years, and they really opened up a lot of musical horizons for me.
And I think if people listen beyond the songs, the two or three songs that they might know that band from, there's a whole lot of variety there and different types of songs, right?
Definitely, yeah.
That's great stuff. Well, before we have you play a song, which I want you to do as soon as possible, where did you grow up? In this area?
Yeah, I was...
Did you grow up? You're still growing up. But.
Yeah, no, I was born in Hollywood, but I've lived most of my life in South Florida, and I lived briefly for a couple months in Dallas with my mom.
Oh wow, okay. I spent some time in Dallas myself too. So but you were very young when you were in Dallas too?
No, actually that was, I don't know, like maybe 5 years ago.
Did you get a chance to see at all what was going on in the music scene in Dallas, or you really didn't get a chance to dive into that?
That was like a very weird period for me personally. So I spent like a lot of time, like just more reflection than like being outward.
I'm intrigued by this weird period in your life thing, because I'm assuming that it has a lot of influence on the way you write and where your inspirations come from.
Yeah. Well, it had a lot to do with family issues that I was going through, and ways I wanted to like emotionally like respond to things that happened and were happening. And so, you know, I like tried like different religions and,
wow.
And, I don't know. But I did a lot of reading, and I think that's what really did put,
I think reading is very underrated as far as the impact it has on musicians and songwriters, because, Some of the favorite best songwriters you'll ever hear, you'll find out that there's usually extensive reading behind all of that too. So I can see where that comes from. Now, at the age that you are you still going to school at all, or are you in college age? So are you going to college?
Yeah, I am. I'm 3 years into Broward College.
Okay, my alma mater. How about that?
Yeah.
I didn't know you could go 3 years at Broward College. No, I'm just kidding. I did too. So I know what you mean. So still a 2-year program over there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're just kind of doing it at your own pace. Is that what's going on there?
Well, it's only 3 years because I've taken time off and gone back on again.
Right. Right. Like we do. Like we all do. Right. I understand.
Yeah.
And what is your primary focus on your studies there?
Well, actually, this idea that I've kind of had since high school is that even though I love music and I love like art and stuff, I never want to pursue it academically.
Okay.
So I've been, I'm right now, I'm a political science major actually.
Nice.
So,
okay. Politics in your future, perhaps? The more you learn about it, is it the more it intrigue you, or
kind of the reverse?
Kind of reverse. A little less interested the more you learn, right?
Yeah.
And okay, so no music theory classes or anything like that. That's not for you. You don't want to do that.
No, I like social theory classes. I don't know if it's obvious or not, but it plays like my views about social issues actually plays a huge role in the way I construct my songs.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I don't want to waste any more time with that. I want to make sure that people get to hear you play. So let's do a song, and I hope which one of the two that we talked about did you want to do first?
I'm thinking we can do March 20th first.
March 20th is the song we're going to hear. Okay, let's just get you into position here. So here is Hunter Altschul. So a little bit of the story behind this song.
Well, the title is obviously the date March 20th, because March 20th is the last day of the last season, which is winter.
Oh.
And the next day is the spring equinox.
I didn't know that seasons had a particular order, like that the spring was the first one. But I guess that sort of makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it I don't know. It depends on well, anyway.
So can you tell I haven't read as many books as you have?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
So sort of a new beginning theme.
Because it's March 20th, it's about ending.
Oh, ending. Okay, gotcha. All right, so it's March 20th, Hunter Altschul on The Bill Murphy Show.
Pumping quarters like my world's alive, waving out of taxi windows. I'm gonna stay here, or at least I'll try, sleeping on t-shirt pillows. And I could love you in so many ways. The pinball machine that never needed paper to play. When it's real, it costs much more. And you'll drop your wallet on the motel bathroom floor. Turning handles, cars to drive, and every city's outskirts look the same. I pull into the truck stop, start to cry, and I slurp poems about the game. How I loved you in so many ways. I plucked flower petals till the garden wilted away. When it's real, it costs much more. We had unprotected sex in the open door. So breathing slowly and fumbling hands, the driver stops the car and I am free. A stolen photo in a dumpster frame is the only thing left he has for me. It's the only thing left he has for me. Left he has for me. crazy as the man.
Very nice, Hunter Altschul, and March 20th. Now I'm even more intrigued that you say you're not doing the music theory stuff. Do you even know what chords you're playing there, or are you just strictly playing by ear?
The latter. I made up the chords.
Did you really? That's just amazing to me. So it doesn't really feel that important to you to really know the whole theory behind what you're playing and key signatures and all that stuff. It's just really what feels good and sounds good to you is good enough, right?
Well, it's weird because I want to know it, but at right. the same time, I want to branch away from it.
So you don't want it to restrict you.
I don't want it to restrict me, but I don't want it to get so crazy that I can't like have somewhere to like fall back into.
Right. I can relate. Again, at Broward College, I took the music theory courses there, and there was I think the course was split in half where it was sight reading, and then theory.
Yeah.
And the sight reading I did great. I mean, I did fine because I took piano lessons when I was a kid, and then theory they would put four bars on a staff with notes on it according to some whatever pattern or key or scale we were studying. And then leave the last one blank and have you finish it off according to what scale we were working on. And I argued with the teachers, well, we can put anything we want there, really. I mean, music is mm-hmm. a freedom of expression and we could do anything you want. And I actually got a really bad grade in that part of the course because I was speaking about how free and open that option is. Are you sort of relating to that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's sometimes like I'll listen to songs and I'll like play them and then I'll take some chords and I'll take them out of place.
Right.
And then I'll take the whole song apart, but just keep those chords
mm-hmm.
and then see what just those chords build. And I try to like find like the weirdest ways to construct songs, I guess.
Right, right, right.
Sometimes.
Gotcha. So at this point you really don't have any, do you have any like, album projects that are out there that people can purchase yet? You're still really getting this stuff, still putting it together and still getting your first recording experiences going, right? So there's like not like a CD baby thing or your CDs are available and anything like that yet?
Actually, no, I do. I don't have a CD baby site, but I have a Bandcamp profile.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently made the CD, The Night Sky. And that can be purchased on the Bandcamp website.
Okay. And it's a very, very, you really did that all by yourself. And it's as,
yeah.
There's nothing contrived about it or nothing fabricated. It's all just real performances, right?
Yeah. Well, there were some points when I was able to layer the vocals.
Okay.
But I was using the basic sound recorders on my parents' Windows computer.
Oh, wow. See?
So.
And it's amazing. I mean, if a song is good enough, it'll hit you no matter what you're listening to it through or how you recorded it. So
I agree. So, totally.
Really, really cool. So we got time for another one, but I'm going to try to just pick your brain a little bit. As you can tell, we're just sort of doing this. I did no research on you because there really isn't much of a history there to research and stuff. I just really wanted to spontaneously meet mm-hmm. you here on the show and kind of feel out what your music is all about, and because it seems really, really promising and exciting to me. What are your plans? What are your personal goals for the next few years musically? Are you going to really stick it out with this, or is this just something that you're going to eventually just toss aside as a hobby? What do you think?
Well, I mean, first, I want to say thanks because you said it sounded promising. I'm not really looking at this like a hobby. I'm taking it very seriously.
Excellent.
And I'm actually starting to mull over what the next project that I want to work on with my guitar is musically, like what the next album might look like.
Have you put a band together yet?
No, and I'm not sure if I will. Maybe just get a couple of people to do some backing stuff, but I really like, as of right now, I really like the direction that it's going and just solo, and then maybe branch out and try new things.
Let's say you have a major label release mm-hmm. a year or two from now. How do you hear that sounding in your head now? Would it be just you and your guitar solo with your harmonicas and stuff, or would you hear whole band instrumentation behind it?
I don't know. I feel like it would be wild of me to put an idea like that together just because of how spontaneous my music comes.
Okay.
Like I don't even think I knew I was going to make The Night Sky until just very shortly before it was made, which is in June.
Right. And you just, the stuff was just coming out and the songs were just one after the other. And the next thing you know, you have a compilation of music.
You know? Yeah. And you know, at first when I first wrote all the songs, I had them all looking at them all together and I didn't really think about it. And then the more I like concentrated, I really saw The Night Sky coming out. And so I was able to like see, okay, this is where I want everything. And then it happened very quickly.
Very nice. It's really cool. I can tell that you don't want it. There's no nonsense about you. You just want it to be simple and concise and at least complicated as it can possibly be. And sometimes music is the best when it's in that kind of form. So I really admire that about you, man. I wish nothing but the best for you. And I hope that if you, I'm going to extend the offer to you, and if you'd like to come here and do a recording project with me, I'd be more than happy to help you out and get you recorded, my brother.
I do want to say I'm glad that you noticed that I am trying to make it concise, because I feel like when I write my songs, they come out a lot more complex than I would like the lyrics to be sometimes, and I feel like sometimes it can make it hard for people to relate.
So that's very cool. So you self-edit yourself. You'll go out after you've written a song and kind of mulled over it for a while. You might dumb down some of the lyrics just to make it a little more understandable. Is that what you're saying? To a degree?
Yes.
That's very cool. That's very, very cool. Well, I mean, it's great. Just keep it coming. And, you know, I say just so far, everything that's just kind of flowed out of you has sounded great so far.
Thanks.
So I wouldn't try to second guess yourself too much. While he's getting set up for his next song, I'll remind you that we'll put a link to his Facebook page where you can like him and keep track of what he's doing, because when this guy starts going out and doing some open mic nights and gigs, you can go check him out, see him live, and see how this situation progresses. All right, so I take it you're going to do the song I heard last week at Crystal's show. You came up and you did a song, and folks, I just got to describe the scene. This kid walks in, plays a guitar that wasn't even his. You borrowed it from somebody else that was performing that night. Where was your guitar at that time? You just didn't bring it with you? You came straight from somewhere else? Or?
Yeah, I literally just did not have the guitar.
So. So he borrows somebody else's guitar. He's up there with bare feet. And sort of a shy, reserved kind of introduction of himself, and got everybody's attention, and then got into this song, which is called I Brought Long Sleeves. Now, more intelligence in the lyrics here. Can you tell us a little bit of the story behind what I Brought Long Sleeves is?
Well, that line is from a conversation that I had with a friend a couple of years ago when my friend Shani and I were walking through her neighborhood, and it was December, I think. So it was really cold, and we were just talking about that, and I said that I'd brought long sleeves, and the lyrics are just kind of like about that day and that experience sort of, but it's also like just shining a light on like everything else through that experience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Being prepared, more or less, is I might be thinking too much into it. Is there a little bit of that lesson to be learned of just being prepared in life and bringing long sleeves?
Yeah, it's a confession, it's a lot of honesty for me, I think. So
very cool. Well, here it is. I Brought Long Sleeves. It's Hunter Altschul.
Thank you.
As I lay awake for the next dark hour, I keep my mind leveled and never cower. I don't sleep much, but when I sleep, you pour your face into my dream. In or out of an altered state, I will play, I will play, I will play your game. And kick the stones on your front porch. The wind's alive, the clouds they hide, the scorching sun. I don't care, I brought long sleeves, I came prepared. And motivate me to the point I can hardly breathe. Ship sails my positive energy. The silence between us will throw stones in our ears. In or out of an altered state, I will shake, I will take, I will make your game my game. My I don't care, I brought long sleeves, I came prepared. And motivate me to the point I can hardly breathe. Sails my positive energy. Sun not yet risen. I feel freed from my prison. You are the simplest decision that I have ever
Hunter Altschul, I Brought Long Sleeves. Very, very nice, man. I really, really enjoyed that song. And that really got some great response from everybody at the show. Were you a little shocked at that? I'm just trying to put myself in your shoes of just how brave and it is to just expose yourself with these songs and be put on the spot and in an open mic situation. And people really made you feel good at the end of that song at the Crystal show, did they not?
Yeah, I mean, I heard a lot of really positive responses from people.
It was a rousing applause that you got for that. I think we've just begun to hear your greatness, man. I'm looking forward to see where this goes next. And I encourage everybody that's listening to click on the link that we've supplied on the page for Hunter's Facebook page. You can also get to his, we'll have the link for that Bandcamp site where you can go through and listen to those songs and then pick up the Night Sky CD, the self-produced one. And we'll all make sure that we keep track of where you're going to be and go see it. When's the next appearance that you have planned, or do you even have one planned at this point?
Yeah, I have a show on the 21st at the River of Grass Cafe.
River of Grass Cafe, which is where?
That's near Flamingo Road in Davie.
Okay.
And I'm opening for Amy Carroll Webb.
Okay.
So
excellent. So everybody, and that's on the 21st.
Yeah.
Excellent. So that's coming up tomorrow night. Oh, that's what it is. Friday the 21st, October 21st, right?
Yes.
Okay, excellent. Hunter Altschul, man, thanks so much for stopping by. This is really, really cool. It's good to meet some more of the talent that Broward County in South Florida has, and I wish you all the best, man.
Thank you.
All right, buddy. There he is. So Hunter Altschul, keep a lookout for him for where he'll be next. We're going to try to turn you on to as many new up-and-coming singer-songwriters as we can in the coming weeks on the show. We're going to be keeping a pace of probably at least 2 or 3 shows a week. Average of about 2.5. 10 shows a month right here at BillMurphyShow.com. If you want to become part of the advertising team, get in touch with me at Murph@BillMurphyShow.com and we'll hook you up. Put your logo on there and mention your business on there and you can help become a supporter of the show. Appreciate you listening, sharing, and liking on our Facebook page. Keep doing so, and keep checking back here at BillMurphyShow.com.
Subscribe to the Bill Murphy Show podcast for free at iTunes. You can post comments about today's show, listen to archived episodes, and like the show on Facebook by visiting BillMurphyShow.com. A presentation of Bill Murphy Productions.